All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be diving into a case, a really like foundational case that I think is so important for understanding, accountability in the law, right? Like, when are you responsible for something when you make a mistake? And this case is Ranson v. Kittner, decided way back in 1888.
Oh, 1888.
Yeah, so it seems like ancient history, but it's really not. When you think about the concepts that come out of it, it involves a mistaken shooting on a hunting trip. At first glance, you might think, okay, well, accidents happen. But this decision from the Illinois Appellate Court really, it's like this cornerstone for understanding intentional torts. And
Yeah.
especially this idea of like, what does it mean to intend to do something versus intending a specific outcome? Like, are those different?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I think this case, it really highlights that. So if you can imagine like a hunting scenario, right? It's inherently a situation where actions have consequences. So in this case, we have Mr. Ranson, and he's out legitimately hunting wolves.
Pointed wolves, okay.
And what happens next really brings up this like a really critical aspect of legal responsibility. Like, what happens when our actions, even if we mean well, lead to some kind of harm that we didn't intend?
And so in this case, it seems pretty simple. Ranson's out there, he's hunting for wolves, he sees an animal, and from all descriptions, it looked like a wolf. So he does what, he thinks is the right thing. He shoots, kills the animal, and come to find out, not a wolf.
Nope.
It's Mr. Kittner's dog.
Mr. Kittner's dog. And it's really important to emphasize that Ranson wasn't being careless here. This wasn't a situation of like poor visibility. From what the case tells us, the dog really did look like a wolf. That wasn't a reckless act. This was a genuine like mistake in what he was looking at.
So like, I mean, if you're out hunting and you see a wolf, you shoot the wolf. That's kind of the point. But obviously Mr. Kittner not thrilled. His dog's been mistaken for, some wild predator and it's dead. So he did what I think a lot of people in that situation would do, and that is he sued to recover the value of his dog.
Makes sense.
Totally. So this case goes to trial. The jury hears both sides and they find in favor of Kittner. They award him $50,
Wow.
which back then, who knows what that translates to now, but I'm sure it was a significant amount. But Ranson's thinking, hold on, I made an honest mistake. So he appeals, right? So he takes it up to the Illinois Appellate Court, and the court, surprisingly to some, I think, upholds the trial court's decision. So they're basically saying, yeah, you're liable, even though it seems like you made a reasonable mistake.
And this is where, this really key legal principle emerges. The court's really grappling with this question of, can Ranson's good faith mistake, this honest belief that he was shooting a wolf, can that excuse him from liability? And specifically, we're talking about an intentional tort here. And in this case, it's what's called trespass to chattels,
We're past the chattels.
which is, just a fancy way of saying like intentionally messing with or harming someone's personal property.
Okay, so like in this case, the dog is the chattels.
Exactly. The dog's the personal
That's
property.
got it.
So you have this like very interesting scenario. And we're all kind of on the edge of our seats, like, okay, well, what's the legal system going to do with
What was
this?
going to happen?
And the appellate court's decision, it hinges on a really fundamental idea that's like running through the whole world of intentional torts. And they're saying, listen, liability, like being held legally responsible for something, it doesn't always depend on you wanting to harm a specific person or a specific piece of property. Instead, they say the focus is often on whether you intended to do the action that ended up causing the harm.
Okay, so like the intent to do the thing, not necessarily the intent to hurt this specific person.
Exactly. It's about the act itself, not the specific outcome, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
And this is like a real light bulb moment, I think, when you're studying torts, because it's like, oh, wow. So even if I make a mistake and it seems reasonable, that might not be a good enough defense if I did something intentionally that led to some damage or injury.
So even if I didn't mean to hurt someone, if I meant to do the action, that's what really matters.
Exactly. And I think this case does a really good job of highlighting that.
And it's interesting too, reading the case, they make this point about like a procedural point that, a judgment can be affirmed, so like upheld, based on any valid legal reason that's supported by like what happened in the case, even if that specific argument like wasn't the main focus of the trial.
Interesting.
So they're saying, the appellate courts have some room to make sure the right legal outcome happens, even if like the reasoning in the beginning wasn't totally clear.
That's a really great insight into like how the legal system works. It's not just about the facts of one case. There are these like broader principles at play. But you know, getting back to the heart of why Ranson lost this case, I think it really comes down to this distinction between like a mistake versus an accident. This is so key to understanding what the court is getting at.
And they really highlight that difference, right? So like we all kind of know what an accident is, right? It's like something happens that you didn't mean to happen.
Unintentional, whoops.
But in the law, it's a little different. Like a mistake means you did something on purpose, but you just didn't understand the situation correctly. So it's like your brain was wrong, but you still did the action on purpose.
Yeah, you chose to do the thing, but you were wrong about what the thing was.
So like in this case, Ranson, he meant to shoot, right? That was a decision he made. He pulled the trigger. But he was mistaken about what he was shooting at. He thought it was a wolf, but it was a dog. But his mistake, like you said, doesn't change the fact that he meant to shoot in the first place. And that's the whole point, right? Like he meant to shoot, the shooting led to the damage, and it's not like, you know, his gun just went off.
And I think this logic, it kind of hints at a deeper reason why the court decided the way they did. It's like by making people responsible for what they choose to do, even if they make a mistake, it encourages everyone to be more careful, especially when they're doing something that could hurt people or their stuff, like hunting with a gun. So a risky activity, right? So you got to be extra careful.
And there are a couple quotes from the case that really lay this out. They said, and I'm quoting here, "Appellants are clearly liable for the damages caused by their mistake, notwithstanding they were acting in good faith." So even though they meant well, they're still responsible.
Powerful stuff.
And they also say, "A judgment may be sustained on any basis in the record that demonstrates its correctness." So they're really emphasizing this idea that, like, the law has to be applied correctly, even if there were some hiccups along the way.
Makes sense. So, like, what does this mean for our listeners, right? Like, why should they care about this case from over 100 years ago?
Well, the big takeaway is this idea of intent. Like, what does it mean to intend to do something in the eyes of the law? And in intentional torts, it often comes down to whether you meant to do the action, not whether you wanted the specific bad outcome.
Yeah, like think about it this way. If you swing a baseball bat, you know, even if you're just messing around and you accidentally hit someone, you did that intentionally, right? You swung the bat. It's different than, you know, tripping and the bat flies out of your hand. That would be more of a negligence thing, like were you being careless?
That makes sense.
But swinging the bat, that was a choice.
That's a good example. And so this case, Ranson, you know, it was about a dog mistaken for a wolf. But the principle applies more broadly. Like, I know legal scholars talk about how you can see this logic at work in all kinds of situations where someone does something intentionally, but they didn't expect the consequences. Like maybe some types of property damage or even online stuff. Like if you send a message and you don't realize how it's going to be received, obviously you have to analyze each situation carefully. But this idea of intent is really important.
Totally. And I think the procedural part of the case also shows us something important about how appeals courts work. You know, they can look at the whole case and make sure the law was applied correctly, even if the original arguments weren't perfect.
So to wrap it all up, Ranson v. Kittner teaches us that a good faith mistake doesn't mean you're off the hook if you intentionally did something that caused harm. The intent to act, that's what matters in intentional torts, even if you didn't want to cause the specific damage.
Makes you think, doesn't it? And it makes me think about, like, what about self-defense cases? You know, where someone really believes they're in danger, but maybe they're wrong about how much danger they're actually in. How does this idea of intent, of choosing to use force, how does that play into those situations?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
It's tricky, right? But this simple case about a hunting mistake, it raises all these important questions about the law.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, next time you think about what it means to do something on purpose, remember Ranson v. Kittner. Remember the dog and the wolf. It reminds us that the law often cares about your actions, even if you didn't perfectly understand the situation.
Good advice.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.